Hello, this is Doug Clark Jr. podcasting from Louisville, Kentucky, recording episode 4 of Working Class Spark on November 24th, 2018. Welcome to the fourth episode of Working Class Spark, where the news is for us, the workers, not them, the rich and powerful. Thank you for listening to this episode, and let me begin by describing to you what this podcast is and why I recreated it. This podcast is for sparking the working class. It serves as an ignition for workers' power against the rich and powerful with their foots on our throats. It serves as a spark for street politics and collective action. And through these methods, we must fight for our freedoms and rights as human beings. This podcast is a rallying cry for you, the worker, the worker's advocate, and the desperately unemployed, so to stand up to the rich because workers have been screwed by the system. This is what this podcast is all about. Well, it looks like we're having the fringe participate in some collective action again to protest rises in petrol and diesel fuel. I have two articles here, one from the BBC and one from CNN. It is 8:40 a.m. Eastern Time on November 24th, 2018. So I'm sure more will happen today, but that this time, this is where we're at. The name of the first article from the BBC is called "France Fuel Protests. Police in Paris fire tear gas." And it begins. Police in Paris have used tear gas and water cannon to disperse protesters demonstrating for a second weekend against rising fuel prices. Clashes broke out on the Champs-Élysées as protesters tried to get through a police security cordon around sensitive sites in the center of the city. Several thousand demonstrators are estimated to have gathered and 3,000 police officers have been deployed. Organizers billed the latest protests as Act 2 in their rolling campaign. Known as Yellow Jackets after their distinctive high-visibility attire, the protesters oppose an increase in fuel duty on diesel. Demonstrators on the Champs-Élysées came up against metal barriers and a police-enforced perimeter designed to stop them reaching key buildings such as the Prime Minister's official residence. The authorities say that so far there is no sign the demonstrators have been able to enter unauthorized areas. Some demonstrators ripped up paving stones and threw firecrackers at police while shouting slogans calling for President Emmanuel Macron to resign. Interior Minister Christophe Castaner, please excuse my French pronunciation, accused the demonstrators of being influenced by the leader of the far-right National Rally Party, Marine Le Pen, but she accused him on Twitter of dishonesty. Mr. Castaner put the number of people taking part across France at 23,000 by 10 o'clock GMT. Much less than the first day of Yellow Jacket protest, which drew some 280,000 people a week ago. What lies behind the protesters' anger? The price of diesel, the most commonly used fuel on French cars, has risen by around 23% over the past 12 months to average of $1.71 per liter, its highest point since the early 2000s. World oil prices did rise before falling back again, but the Macron government raised its hydrocarbon tax this year by 7.6 cents per liter on diesel and 3.9 cents on petrol as part of a campaign for cleaner cars fuel. The decision to impose a further increase of 6.5% on diesel and 2.9 cents on petrol on January 1st, 2019 was seen as the final straw. The president was blamed for world oil prices for three-quarters of the price rise. He also said more tax on fossil fuels was needed to fund renewable energy investments. In another sign of the tension sparked by the protest, a man was arrested on Friday in eastern France after threatening to blow himself up with a grenade unless he was granted a meeting with President Macron. The 45-year-old, wearing a yellow jacket, was confronted in a car wash in the town of Angers, but surrendered to police after several hours of negotiations. Why wear yellow jackets? All drivers in France have to carry the jackets in their cars as part of safety equipment for use in a breakdown. Along with the familiar red fluorescent triangle, which must be placed behind a broken down vehicle on the side of the road, the high visibility jacket must be worn by the driver outside the car. Failure to wear the jacket after a breakdown or accident can result in a $153 fine under a law introduced in 2008. Synonymous with driving, the jackets have now morphed into the uniform of the movement against higher fuel costs. Feeling ignored. This is from an analysis from Hugh Schofield at the BBC News Paris division, and it begins, "This is a protest from the social media age, which means there are no real leaders, no real demands, and no one is quite sure how many will turn up or where in Paris. They've been offered rallying points by the Eiffel Tower and in two big squares in the east of Paris. But there are fears that without any focus, the protesters could break up into a myriad of small groups, much harder to manage, especially if, as is from impossible, troublemakers try to join their ranks. The protest may be amorphous, but the danger is real enough. Its heartland is what's become known here as the France of the periphery, that is, the thousands of small towns across the country where people depend heavily on cars to get to work and to shop, and feel their values are ignored by the sophisticated rule makers of the capital. What happened last weekend? This is back to the straight news. There were protests at more than 2,000 locations across France. Two people were killed and more than 600 injured. At least 50 people were also arrested. Although most of the protests took place without incident, several of the injuries and one of the fatalities came when drivers tried to force their way through protest. The second death was that of a male demonstrator on a motorbike who collided with a lorry. All right, that's the one from the BBC. Now, let's go ahead and look at the one from the CNN to get some, see if we can get some new facts. Like I said, I'm doing this as it's happening. So let's go ahead and go for this and see what we can find, any new information. All right, the title for the CNN piece is, article, is Police Fire Tear Gas, Water Cannon at Paris Fuel Protest. Updated 8:11 a.m. Saturday, November 24th, 2018. And as I read it, it's 8:45 a.m. November 24th, 2018. Paris. Police in Paris have fired tear gas and used water cannon against protesters on the Champs-Élysées in the center of the French capital. The Yellow Vest protest, which began as a campaign against rising gas prices, have morphed into a wider demonstration against the government of President Emmanuel Macron in recent weeks. Police say they have mobilized 3,000 officers in Paris to contain the 8,000 protesters. A security perimeter has been set up in the city center, with government buildings protected. Three people have been arrested so far. At a news conference on Saturday, French Interior Minister Christophe Castaner blamed the clashes on far-right extremists infiltrating the demonstrations. Quote, "Today, the far-right has mobilized," he told reporters. "The security forces perfectly anticipated this situation." Far-right political leader Marine Le Pen rejected the accusations, describing it as a pathetic, dishonest, and form of political manipulation by the government. Earlier, Castaner said of the protesters, "Their freedom of expression will be guaranteed, but it must not be exercised to the detriment of security, public order, and the right of everybody to come and go. There is no liberty without public order." Last weekend, a protester was accidentally run over and killed by a car, and more than 200 people were injured during the demonstration in eastern France. Macron under fire. In addition to concerns over spiraling fuel prices, the protests reflect long-running tensions between the metropolitan elite and the rural poor. Diesel prices have surged 16% this year from an average of $1.41 per liter to $1.69, even hitting €1.53 in October, according to UFIP, France's Oil Industry Federation. The price hike is largely caused by a leap in the wholesale price of oil, with Brent crude oil, a benchmark for worldwide oil purchases, increasing by more than 20% in the first half of 2018, from around $60 a barrel to a peak of $86.07 in early October. French protesters are, however, not directing their anger at OPEC for reducing oil production or at the U.S. administration for implementing tariffs on Iran, crippling its oil exports. Macron is instead bearing the brunt of widespread French discontent, with many protesters furious at the current leader's extension of environmental policies implemented under François Hollande's government. Notably, taxes were increased by eight cents last year on diesel and 4 cents on petrol. Tax on diesel will also increase by another 6.4 euro cents in 2019 and by 2.9 cents for petrol. These rises follow many decades of undertaxation of diesel in France. Further revolts. The growing resentment has also been a springboard for partisan political attacks, with opponents of Macron's centrist and Marche party attempting to energize their bases to fuel for the revolt. This government hasn't understood the anger of the French, Olivier, far ahead of the French Socialist Party, said this month. Macron has not heard the French. Laurent Wauquiez, leader of the center-right party, Les Républicains, added in a news interview for BFMTV and RMC Radio. Meanwhile, Macron's former nemesis, Marine Le Pen, leader of France's far-right National Party, said, "We were the first party to express our total support for this movement." Castaner hit back at Macron's opponents, branding the protest political and accusing Les Républicains of being behind them. "It's a political protest with Republicans behind it, and it's irrational because the rising taxes have been compensated by the decline in the oil market," he told CNN's French affiliate BFMTV. "We hear the protest, we hear the anchor, I know the situation, but we have to explain that it's essential that we exit fossil fuels." As you can see between the two articles, there's a little more pro-labor comment or tint to the BBC article, and it seems like it's a little bit more government favoring on the CNN report. And almost on CNN, they almost passed judgment on Marie Le Pen of the France's far-right National Rally Party, when on the other article, she is quoted on Twitter as not saying anything, or excuse me, of denying having any part of any protest there in France. So like I said, right now it's 8:50 a.m., November 24th, 2018. And those are the updates at the moment. Please check again all day on CNN and BBC. Thank you. Okay, for our second article today, U.S. retail workers face long hours, poor pay, and anxiety through the roof on Black Friday. It's from The Guardian by Michael Sainato in Albany. The subtitle is "Workers Face Increases in Work Volume and Demanding Schedules, Often Without Extra Compensation During Holidays." And this was printed February 23rd, November 2018 at 1 o'clock Eastern. Nicholas Oates started working at an Amazon fulfillment center in Kansas City, Missouri in August last year, a few months before Amazon's peak season began in late November with Black Friday and Cyber Monday sales kickoff holiday shopping. That year, 45% of all U.S. online transactions on Thanksgiving Day and 54.9% of all online transactions on Black Friday were made through Amazon. On Cyber Monday, Amazon sold over 64 million items, making up a significant portion of the record $6.59 billion in total sales for the day. Amazon noted it was their biggest sales day in company history. This year, Amazon expanded their Black Friday sale to Black Friday Deals Weekend, encompassing Black Friday and Cyber Monday and offering different sales on a daily basis. To help meet such demand during this year's peak season, Oates, 25, said he was already working 60 hours a week. Oates explained that as the work volume increases, Amazon workers are not allowed to use personal time and vacation time, for it is discouraged. Amazon announced earlier this year a plan to hire 100,000 temporary workers for 2018 holiday season, though that number has decreased from previous years. The reduction has been attributed to automation and increased reliance on robots with Amazon fulfillment centers. Oates says the robots on the warehouse floor often wind up knocking items to the ground, slowing down the work assembly, and making it more difficult for workers to keep up picking items. It's a depressing work culture because I've seen countless people get chewed up and spit out at this job. One of the biggest depressing realizations is after I survived peak season, I couldn't recognize my department anymore. So many people were gone. Oates is currently homeless, living out of his car in the Amazon Fulfillment Center parking lot while working full-time. Oates said he's struggling with depression. "My quality of sleep has been horrible. I've only been getting 4 to 5 hours of sleep a night tops," he said. Shannon Allen, another Amazon employee who has worked at a fulfillment center in Hazlitt, Texas, since May 2017, said Black Friday and Cyber Monday sales include many more large items and appliances, which make it more difficult for Amazon workers to keep up with the pace demanded by management. "When people order the larger items, it makes it a little more strenuous on everybody because mass quantities of larger items are not something that we normally deal with every day," Allen said. In an email, an Amazon spokesperson said the company's number one priority to ensure a positive and safe working environment. "In recent years, thousands of seasonal associates have gone on to join Amazon on a long-term basis after the holiday season," the statement said. The National Retail Federation projects projects overall holiday season sales to increase by 4.1% in 2018. Increasingly, these sales are shifting toward online retail over brick-and-mortar retail. In 2017, online sales on Black Friday saw an 18% increase from the previous year, while the number of people who shopped in brick-and-mortar retail stores on Thanksgiving and Black Friday decreased by 4%. Though Black Friday shopping is trending toward online retail, millions of Americans will still shop in person at brick-and-mortar retail stores, where workers face substantial increases in work volume and demanding schedules, often without any additional compensation. "You don't get to enjoy Thanksgiving because of Black Friday right after," said Ludmila Blanco, an employee for 25 years at a CVS in Los Angeles, California. "People are very demanding. We have huge lines, and we are understaffed for most of the time people rush in." She noted only full-time employees receive time and a half extra compensation for working holidays like Thanksgiving Day, but it isn't offered at all Black Friday. "It's stressful. It's chaos everywhere. Having to keep up with the pace management expects you to work at, dealing with the mess and the customers. My anxiety is through the roof," said Naomi Castro, a three-year employee at Kmart in Los Angeles, California, who was working the morning shift on Black Friday this year. The director of labor education research at Cornell University's Industrial and Labor Relations School, Kate Bronfenbrenner, explained these trends as persistent throughout the retail industry. "There is a human personal cost," Bronfenbrenner said. She noted in the 1980s, many places did not open holidays and were closed on Sundays. "We have moved to a world where the biggest shipping days of the year are on holidays," she says. The world's largest retailer, Walmart, has made efforts to compete with Amazon on Cyber Monday while hosting Black Friday sales at their retail stores across the country. Walmart does not offer holiday pay or additional compensation to workers on days like Black Friday. Walmart has faced increasing pressure from workers to raise their minimum wage to $15 an hour in the wake of Senator Bernie Sanders' Stop Walmart Act, introduced last week to push Walmart to raise their wages. Walmart workers are planning protest events outside of Walmart billionaire heiress Alice Walton's New York City penthouse and Walmart.com headquarters in San Bruno, California on Cyber Monday. Christy Bronstetter, a Walmart employee for more than 7 years at a store outside of Kansas City, Missouri, said retail workers are giving up their time with their family to serve their customers, and we are not making money for ourselves, but making money for the executives and the Waltons who are sitting at home. Powerful piece. All right, as for the concept of the week, we're standing with socioeconomic status, or SES, which is a better way to categorize levels of wealth and power in the world rather than just class. Class only means what amount of money you have, whereas SES takes into account how much education you have, your financial security, and how you see the levels of power and wealth in our society. For example, if I win the lottery, I would be considered upper class, yet I would still have lower SES in all other ways. So us workers will never have top-level SES. Also, socioeconomic status can include your quality of life and the opportunities and privileges you have. So you can see how the rich pass on their advantages to their children when working-class youth do not get the same opportunities. This continues the cycle of oppression for generations. And according to the American Psychological Association, inequality in healthcare, how much money you have compared to the rich, and the quality of life you have increasing in the United States and around the world. The reason I chose this concept for the week is to show that it isn't just class that is affected by wealth, but also our place in society. This is how power and wealth, or lack of it, keep us down in society as workers. In closing, if you haven't got a sense of what is needed here more than anything else is to produce a good podcast, is that I need you to contribute. I need you to send me clippings of articles that you think would lend to the working class movement. I need book reviews or recommendations. I need to know the best working class freedom movement sites on the web. I need to be made aware of what is going on in your community toward helping the working class battle the parasitic rich. I need you to email me what you're thinking or your opinions are regarding the show and the struggle. I need you to tell me, in general, what you, the listener, want out of this podcast. For this podcast to work, I need this to be a collective project amongst us listening, working class members, advocates, and the unemployed workers among us. I would like to also respond to some of your emails and share them with our fellow leaders if you send them in. And if you have the Anchor app on your phone or Android, through the Anchor app, you can actually leave a voice message that I would be able to play on the next episode. I would also like to put together a segment with interviews. I could interview leaders, professionals, lecturers, and fellow workers who fight for the freedom of the working class. I'd be interested in interviewing some of you, the listeners, who have something to say that I think would fit this podcast purpose. So thank you for listening to episode 4 of Working Class Spark, and I hope you subscribe. I'll be conducting each episode on the change day of the week, Saturdays, from here on out, and we may feature the occasional special episode like the one I published earlier this week concerning the protest in France over a tax hike and gas prices. Also, I know that I mentioned in an episode or two about getting interviews with some union representatives, but that is still in the works. I'm waiting for some new recording equipment, and hopefully we'll have that interview soon. You can also now find the show on all major podcast hosting sites across the web. If it's easier for you to find our podcast somewhere other than through anchor.fm or the Anchor app, you can just search for Working Class Spark over at Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Breaker, CastBox, Overcast, Pocket Casts, Radio Public, or Stitcher. You can also like our Facebook page over at Working Class Spark and hit the email button to reach us at workingclasspark1@gmail.com. But the only way to contact us and leave a voicemail message will be through the Anchor app. I look forward to getting your responses. Thank you, and let's spark the working class.